Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
I'm grateful for his presence this morning. Man, y'all are a beautiful congregation. Y'all are incredible people. You know, I just realized something. It has been way too long since I've told you who you are. You are world changers. You are world changers. You are called by God to change this world. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, created by the author of life, the creator of all things. You are. If you came in not feeling like a world changer, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because God loves you and created you to revolutionize this world. So, Father, this morning I pray that you would help us to grab a hold of who we really are and take hold of your word this morning. God, I pray that your word would transform the very emotional state that we walked in with. And God, I thank you that your kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I thank you for joy that is coming. There may have been weeping that endured for the night, but joy is coming this morning. I thank you that you are about to infuse us with a powerful weapon, and that's joy. So God, I thank you that you are the lifter of our head. God, you are the one whom our help comes from, and we trust you this morning. We love you, and we thank you for your word. Use it to change us forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, William. Well, church, good morning. Glad to see you this morning. Praise God for you. I'm grateful to see some new faces this morning and also some old faces that it's been a while. And it's really good to see all of you this morning. Church, can we give it up for all of our guests this morning and those that are with us that have, it's been a while, we love you, we honor you. But I want to do what I normally do. I want to warn you, if that's okay. I'm going to warn you because if you came in with a chip on your shoulder this morning, the Holy Spirit's about to get all up in your business, okay? I'm just sorry. If you came in grumpy with some negative Nancy pants on, the Holy Spirit's going to change your clothing with robes of righteousness in Jesus' name. And I believe God wants to turn our negative perspective into hope. I think God loves someone who believes in all things, hopes for all things, trusts for all things. And right now, I just want to start the sermon by taking authority in Jesus' name. I rebuke discouragement in the name of Jesus in this house. I speak life over this house in the name of Jesus. Jesus is about to be the lifter of our head. Will you receive it? Will you allow him to? I want God to move me with joy this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, give us soft hearts. And Lord, give us ears that can hear your word this morning in Jesus' name. If this has been a difficult week, I'm not trying to diminish. Let me start with that as well. If you've had, because some of us have been through it this week, come on. Some of us have had one of the roughest weeks, but I'm not trying to diminish the hurt or the pain you may be going through right now, but God sent me this morning to help you see through the darkness. Come on, somebody, you got to see through the pain by shining the light of God's word on our attitudes. God's word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, and sometimes I need an attitude adjustment. Come on, somebody. There are moments of weakness where I need my attitude checked. Come on, any other real people in the house this morning? There are moments where somebody gets on my last nerve. And I just want to, the flesh rises up. The spirit is willing, but sometimes, y'all, the flesh is weak. And all month long, we've been talking about how God moves us from broken to breakthrough. I've loved this January series. I agree with Jose. If this is an indication of how this year is going to be, it's going to be a good year, church. He allows us to experience broken situations because he loves us too much to allow us to get comfortable with life and stay the same. Because a lot of times our uncomfortableness stirs us to change, right? The times that we get uncomfortable, there's the analogy of the mama eagle puts thorns in the nest to get the babies out to finally fly. Jesus wants us to soar. Come on, somebody. And all month long, we've been talking about breakthrough, and the title of today's message is simply this: your joy is your breakthrough. Come on, somebody. Your joy is your breakthrough. Your joy, get that in your spirit, is your breakthrough. I love that Chuck's in the room because he's a joyful person. Your joy is your breakthrough. Somebody needs to get a little bit of joy this morning because your joy is your breakthrough. If you don't have joy in your heart, I want to warn you, God's about to turn that around in this holy moment in Jesus' name. Someone is about to get full of joy unspeakable. If you will open up your heart, Jesus will do it. I came to speak life into your spirit this morning. The Holy Spirit, I feel him already in this word. The Holy Spirit wants to be the lifter of our heads this morning. If you came for a touch of his presence, lift up your hand. God, I thank you for your love. Jesus sent me to declare to Life Church and to the amazing people of South Atlanta, we can have joy in the good times and we can have joy in the bad times. It can be all throughout, in between. I'm here to declare it's not our bank accounts that makes us happy. It's not the car that you drove on this campus in that sustains your joy. No, it's not anything materialistic. It's not the position you hold or the leadership that you have. It's not the relationship or a friendship that we depend on that produces lasting joy. Come on, somebody. Joy is a choice. It is a decision that all of us have to make, and all of the external circumstances in my life can seem to be falling apart. Come on, somebody. But I can still remain steadfast. I can still remain resolute if I hold on to my joy in Jesus. No matter what hell may come my way, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I love this quote, and I hope it helps somebody today. Joy is a gladness that is not based on circumstance. Joy is a gladness that is not based on circumstance. See, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but my God comes to bring life, and life that is abundant. Hallelujah. You see, my Bible tells me, here's some good news. Y'all ready for some good news this morning? My Bible tells me that the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in me. The same power that rose Christ lives in me. My Bible says neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come can separate me from the love of my God. That is good news this morning. Even if what I'm facing right now kills my physical body, Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm going to spend eternity in paradise where the lover of my soul is because Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave. Come on, somebody. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If that's not enough to have joy, I don't know what is. That is enough, church. I don't need promotion. I don't need provision. I just need Jesus. That's all we need. No matter what the diagnosis, no matter what the circumstance looks like, the doctor may tell me I have a certain amount of time. No matter what hell comes my way, church, I can experience breakthrough in the middle of it all because my joy is my breakthrough. My joy is my breakthrough. Somebody needs to declare that over your life this morning. You need to declare, I'm going through it. I'm hurting. I'm in a painful situation, but my joy is my breakthrough. Under your breath, I dare you to just say that my joy is my breakthrough. All week long, you need to get that in your spirit. My joy is my breakthrough. In almost 40 years that I've walked this planet, I can testify with a great deal of experience that we live in a world full of unhappy people. We live in a world that is full of grumpy people. Come on, somebody. Y'all have experienced some grumpy pants people. I don't even know where that came from. But there are some unhappy people. Some people are so angry and so mean-spirited that they can make it uncomfortable to even be in the same room with them. It's difficult And the sad part about me saying this is I've spent the majority of my life in church. Some of y'all will get that in just a minute. I don't need to be convicting or convincing or persuasive this morning for us to understand that we live in a culture that is saturated with negativity. It's saturated with negative innuendos. If it's not one thing, it's the other. Come on. If it's not one thing, we all know people who always find a way to find the cup half empty. Come on. That's the world we live in right now. And here's the deal. Don't look now, but some of us are married to them. Please keep your eyes on your pastor right now. Don't nudge anybody. Some of us are married to them. Some of us have a teenager that can't seem to shake the cloud of darkness that looms over their life right now. Parents, don't look at your kids. Don't look at your grandchildren. But there is negativity. There's a funk that some teenagers get in, and praise God, it's coming. Breakthrough's coming. Because our joy is our breakthrough. Stephen Nolan told me the other week he really enjoyed my Eeyore impression. And so for Stephen, I'm going to do it again. We experience Eeyore attitudes. I know some of the generations just got lost because they don't even know who Winnie the Pooh is. But oh no, the world's falling apart again. This time, it's really over. We got lucky last time, but not this time. Why even bother? I'm not even going to get through it this time. Oh, no. Give it up for Eeyore. Hallelujah. That's for you, Stephen. Some people are so negative that if they walked into a dark room, they'd develop. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching right now. But before we cast too much judgment, I know we've had some fun, we've pointed some fingers, but before we cast too much judgment, I believe we need to recognize it's within our fallen human nature to find the negative in any given situation. It's within our human nature, the fallenness of our human nature, to find the negative in every situation. See, the problem with this truth and the reality that we all must come to grips with is this: breakthrough never comes through complaining. Breakthrough never comes through having a sour attitude. Breakthrough never comes through negativity. Breakthrough never does that. I read this week an interesting statistic. It says that 80% of the people that you complain to will care less about what you actually say. It's so interesting. 80% will care less and won't even remember what you complained about in just a few moments after you complained. So why waste our breath, church? It's useless. Here's the deal. Revival in the book of Acts came from people caring about one another so much that they sold their own possessions and gave to one another so generously that no one would go in lack. That's where revival, the Spirit of God was poured out on Pentecost because they were in one accord. They were together in one place, unified in one purpose to pray and seek the face of God. Come on, somebody. It was a joy to wait in that upper room, church. It was a joy, and their joy became their breakthrough. That's good preaching. I used to love the phrase, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Anybody use that before? I loved that phrase until I was on staff at a church and I was pushing a idea that I had for the ministry that I was leading in, and I was sharing it with my executive pastor, and he was like, man, Jonathan, you're coming on real strong with this. You might want to back down a little bit. And I said, well, sir, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? And he looked at me and he said, or it gets replaced. Thought to myself, ouch, I'm not going to use that phrase anymore. I said it the other week and I feel the need to say it again. It's impossible to be a victor and a victim at the same time. We can't do that. I can't get my breakthrough if I choose to stay in a broken and negative mindset, church. I won't see revival in a negative headspace. The good news is this: if I choose joy, I can have my breakthrough in any circumstance. In any circumstance. The enemy of our soul would hate for us to recognize the reality that our joy is our breakthrough, church. We can be in the middle of the most difficult situation we've ever faced, and we can still choose joy. We can still choose joy. We can be in experiencing the most unbearable pain and still choose joy. That's good news this morning. Our circumstance can make us feel empty and broken, but if we choose joy, our joy is our breakthrough, church. You see, God sent me this morning to teach us joy does not simply happen to us, church. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just fall into our laps. It's something we have to wake up in the morning, strap my boots on, and I'm going to walk in joy. I'm going to walk with purpose. I'm going to walk in integrity. I choose to walk in joy this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We've got to choose it and keep choosing it every single day. I'm saying in the good times, I choose joy because joy is my breakthrough. I'm saying in the bad times, I choose joy because joy is my breakthrough. In the low moments when nothing seems to be going my way that I want it to, I choose joy because my joy is my breakthrough. When no one else is helping me and the weight of the world feels like it's on my shoulders, I choose joy because joy is my breakthrough. Come on, somebody. Someone who has the joy of the Lord needs to shout, my joy is my breakthrough. It's my breakthrough. My joy is not just the key to my breakthrough. It is my breakthrough. It's not just the key. It is. It's everything. If you and I are honest with ourselves when things are not right, it's easy to point out a flaw in somebody else. When things aren't going the way you want it to go, when life is difficult, it's easy. Oh, they didn't do this. They didn't do that. They're causing me this kind of pain. If they would have just done that, I would be happy right now. It comes naturally to point a finger and blame somebody or something for what we are experiencing in life in this moment. But the problem is complaining gets us nowhere. It gets us nowhere. I don't know if you recognize I'm repeating that because it's worth repeating. A mentor from a distance told me this powerful mantra. He said, if you complain, you will remain. Oh, wow. If you complain, you will remain. If you praise, you will raise. That's good. If you complain, you'll remain. You want to stay in your mess. You want to stay in the negativity. If you complain, you'll remain. If you praise, you're going to raise above whatever circumstance you're facing, church. It's within our fallen human nature to find the negative in any given situation. And that means 8 out of 10 things in your life are going right and you're getting the favor of God. And 8 out of the 10 things, you know what you're going to do? You're going to focus on those two. You're going to focus on the two things that aren't right. You're going to focus on the two things that are causing difficulty. I read everybody's mail right there. Some weeks people message us and say, hey, you read my mail. Who you been talking to? I just read everybody's mail because all of us do this. Whenever 10 things are going for us, we find the two things that are going badly. Right? Here's what I'm saying. If we're not careful, negativity has a way of naturally rising to the surface of our lives and positioning itself at the forefront of our thoughts and our emotions. If we're not careful, that negative spirit, that negative mindset, oh Lord, what's going to happen now? Eeyore, right? Come on, somebody. Here's the deal. I'm about to read a passage of scripture that if you walked in the room with in a negative headspace with that chip on your shoulder, you might have had a bad week. I get it. I'm sorry. I didn't want you to have a bad week. But if you're focused on the negative, this scripture might be uncomfortable for you. If you're okay, I'm just going to warn you because it's going to call us higher. It's going to call us deeper. It's going to go against our fallen human nature, church. As believers who follow Christ, the Bible commands you and I to walk out this life full of joy. Full of joy. Paul said it plainly with the authority of the Holy Spirit in Philippians 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always, not just when things are good, but always, when all hell's breaking loose. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he doesn't just stay there. He says, wait a second, that's good enough. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Get happy in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because guess what? The Lord is near. What Paul is saying in this moment is you better check your attitude, because God is right there with you. He knows who you are. He knows what you've been thinking. It's not Christmas time. But that is the reality. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation. I said in every situation. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through, Pastor. No, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and then something special happens when you do this. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Your joy is your breakthrough. Finally, brothers and sisters, oh, this is where it gets hard. This is where the rubber meets the road. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Oh, that's what we need this morning in the negative environment that we live in. We've got to think on these things. It's a choice. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Always. When your boss puts more on your plate than you think you can handle, rejoice. Come on, somebody needs that this morning. When the loved one gets a negative report that breaks your heart, I'm telling you, God's word says rejoice. When your husband is a jerk and your kids mess up the entire house you spent hours cleaning, come on, somebody. Super mom, you better start rejoicing in the Lord. When the car breaks down and you're late to one of the most important meetings of your life and it's frustrating, Paul says, in everything, rejoice. Come on, somebody. In every situation, rejoice. But why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why did Paul say this? He said it because he understood your joy is your breakthrough. God sent me to remind us this morning that it takes intentional effort to find the good in all situations. It takes intentional effort. It's not just by accident you're joyful. You have to purpose to be joyful. We have to intentionally put whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that is excellent or praiseworthy. It doesn't just say it just naturally happens. It says we have to think on these things. That's where joy comes from. Honestly, sometimes it's really hard to be positive some days because too much is going wrong. Too much is difficult. Too much is painful. Too much of this sin broken world is getting on our last nerve. I don't know about you, but I came to preach to people who came in the house because they want to get better. I came to preach to real people, that those that want to take the hard path, not the easy path, but the hard path that makes them more like Jesus each and every day. I came to preach that to a church that is ready to grow spiritually. And I'm telling you, if we are going to do what God wants us to do, then our joy is our breakthrough. Our joy is what's going to cause revival. Paul said, think on these things. And there are days where, let's be real, this passage of Scripture frustrates me. Anybody else in the house? Because I'm human and I'm not always perfect in this area. There are days where I am negative. I get in a bad headspace. Most of you would probably experience me as a fun-loving, easygoing, happy, joyful individual. But I promise you, you can ask the beautiful woman on the front row. There are multiple weeks that go on where she has to pick me up and she has to speak life into me. You know better than that. I promise you, she calls me to the carpet often. That is negative thinking. And Pastor, man of God, you need to check your thinking. Because I am fallible. I'm still a man in need of a Savior. I have to get my eyes fixed on my Lord and my Savior and get my eyes off of my circumstance, because my joy is my breakthrough, church. It's in those negative moments of weakness that I have to do something intentional to live in the joy God has called me to live in. And here's what I do. I have to run to my prayer closet. Some of us need to do that this week. You're going through very difficult situations where you need wisdom. You don't know how it's going to work out. Get to the prayer closet. Get intimate time with the Lord. I have to expose my negative thoughts to an accountability partner. Oh, that's something that we're scared of in the Church of Jesus Christ. But accountability is powerful, because as soon as I get my negative thinking out in front of an accountability partner, it loses its power over my life. Because what we expose, God covers. But what we cover, God exposes. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit right there. Somebody needs to get a hold of an accountability partner, because one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. Oh, look, it's good. Two are better than one, is what the scripture says. I have to put some praise and worship on to change the atmosphere of the room I'm in. How many love to praise throughout the week? See, worship isn't just during a service, it's all week. I have to turn off the news radio and put on a Christian podcast to feed my spirit the word of God. I've got to stop all the busyness and just take a moment to breathe, just stop, because Sabbath is important. Without Sabbath, we cannot have the joy God's called us to. I've got to stop and take a moment to remember all of the good things God has placed in my life. I've got to intentionally, what are you saying? Intentionally think on these things. When I find myself falling into negativity, I've got to put down the stress of the day, and I've got to get to my house and spend quality time with my wife and my kids, because they're the most important thing in my life. I've got to get to my sanctuary. You see, church, it takes intentional effort to live in joy. It takes a resolute focus to stay joyful when life falls apart. When the stuff hits the fan, you and I need to be determined to live in joy. All of us are facing difficult situations even today. All of us. Every day, something or someone is going to try to rob you of your joy. That's the reality. But here's what I believe. As believers, what should separate us from the rest of this world is how you and I respond to the challenges that we face. What should separate us? Here's something I believe with all of my heart. I've said it before. You'll hear me say it again. Christians should be the most positive and joy-filled people on the planet. Christians should be the most positive and joy-filled. This should be the most incredible atmosphere in McDonough, Georgia, because the Spirit of the living God is here, and we have been blood-bought, redeemed. We are living in freedom because God loves us. We should be full of joy unspeakable, church. We are men and women called by God Almighty to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. When everyone else is afraid, we don't have to be afraid, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. God has not given you and I a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. If I feel alone, I know I'm not alone, because my God will never leave me or forsake me. That's my word. He is with me, and I know in His presence there is fullness of joy. So it may feel like I'm alone, but God is with me. He is for me. He's not against me. God's word is full of optimistic people who followed and allowed joy to become their breakthrough. I was thinking about the woman who had only one meal left to share with her son, and the prophet of God came to her house and said, "Hey, can you make me some bread?" And she found the determination, even though she was ready to give all that she had and eat her last meal and die, when the man of God came into the house, she found joy in the Lord enough and a determination to give all that God she had left, and that caused the prophet to bless her. It caused the provision to come. It caused the breakthrough. What she lacked, she had no lack, because she chose joy. She knew everything that she had was God's. Job lost his family, his fortune, and his health was failing, and yet he found an inner strength to declare, "Though he may slay me, I will trust him. Though he may slay me, I will put my hope in my God." I wonder if somebody could get that tenacity in the room this morning. Even the thief on Calvary's cross had the sense to recognize Jesus in the middle of his darkest hour, in the middle of his punishment, and because he saw through the pain, because he saw through his lot in life, Jesus promised him, today, you're going to live with me in paradise. Oh, that's powerful, church. If we will but see through it, we can live through it. David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. We quote that often, but I want you to see that David penned those powerful words when he was hiding in a cave because there were hundreds of men hunting him, wanting to kill him. And yet in the moment of his darkest hour, he said, oh, taste and see, my God is good. Because it doesn't matter the circumstance, I've got joy. The disciple Stephen is one of my favorites. He was being stoned to death. And he looked through his very murderers, the people taking his life, and he shouted with joy in his heart, look, I see the Son of God, and he's standing up at the right hand of the Father. Look at what I get to see. I see through my pain. I see through my circumstance. I've got joy because my Savior is standing for me. With this ongoing pandemic, Jubilee and I listen to multiple podcasts, Christian leadership studies that are trying to figure out what in the world can be more effective at reaching people in a COVID culture. And there's a lot of strategies being discussed. There's a lot of unique trends that are coming down the pipeline. But here's what I'm starting to believe, church. This is something I'm studying. I'm really starting to believe this. If Christians simply lived more joy-filled lifestyles, if Christians were just as full of joy outside of the church as they were inside the church on Sunday morning, if Christians were full of genuinely joyful people, the people around us in this community would be so drawn to the church of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ because they would see that there's something different about us. They would see there's something unique in us. I'm praying that they see joy, a joy that's so positive in Life Church in McDonough, a joy so powerful and profound in us that they would want what we've got. That's what works. That's effective ministry. That's where revival is coming because our joy is our breakthrough, church. I'll close with this powerful example found in the book of Acts. The apostle Paul and his brother in Christ, Silas, they were ministering in Philippi, and moments after the power of God was displayed by releasing this young lady from a demonic presence, they cast out the demon, and this woman was being used by her owners. She was a slave being used as a fortune teller. And the demonic presence was enabling her to have powers beyond her ability. And their situation was amazing because they cast the demon out. They did what Jesus called them to do. He said, in my name, you will have authority to cast out devils. And they were doing what Jesus called them to do, and their situation took a very dark and negative turn. But it did not stop Paul and Silas from walking in joy. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 16. Starting in verse 22, it says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Praise God, we don't live in that type of culture today. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. And I love verse 25. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to their God, and the other prisoners were listening. Come on, somebody. In the midnight hour, they were having a joy time, a joy celebration. They were praising and worshiping their God in their midnight hour. Paul and Silas praised before their circumstance got better, church. They praised before their circumstance got better because their joy was their breakthrough. Their joy, what? It didn't matter if the jail was going to open or not. They were going to worship their God because I am going to worship my God no matter what. They knew that their joy was their breakthrough. I think most of us, we get it backwards. We tell God, if you make a way where there seems to be no way, that's when I'll praise you, God. If you do this for me, then that, if I just rub you like a genie in the bottle, then that's when I'll give my full heart to you. If like Santa Claus, I'll write my wish list out, and as soon as you give me these three things, then I'm going to praise you. God, if you really are Jehovah Jireh, then you'll provide all my needs according to your riches and glory, and that's when I'll praise. See, that's backwards, church. We should praise him even. I love when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. The king said, I'm going to kill you. And they said, you know what? Our God can do anything. And they said, the king said, what if he doesn't? He said, even if he doesn't, I will only praise him. I'm not going to worship any false god, because even if he doesn't, that's what Paul and Silas, God, if you heal me and by your stripes make me whole, that's when I'm going to praise you. No, we got it backwards. You got to praise him in your sickness. Praise him in your infirmity. Praise him when the diagnosis is dark. Praise him when everything seems to be falling apart. Praise him when the bill is past due. Come on, somebody. Praise him when the door slams shut in your face. I don't care what hell comes my way. In the midnight hour, you're going to find me praise in my God, because my joy is my breakthrough, church. But what I see here in Acts 16, while Paul and Silas were still, let this sink in, church, they were still bloody from being beaten half to death, flogged, embarrassed. They were stripped down and embarrassed publicly, but church, they still had enough joy to praise him. While they were still embarrassed, they had enough joy to praise him. While they were chained in the inner cell and their feet were in stocks, they had enough joy to praise him. They had enough joy to see beyond their circumstance. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to get enough joy in your spirit to see beyond what you're going through right now, because your joy is your breakthrough. I'm going to keep preaching until something clicks in somebody's heart this morning. While they were being punished for doing the right thing, oh man, that's the most frustrating thing, is when people come against us when we're doing the right thing. Oh, that hurts, but in my midnight hour, I'm still going to praise them. Paul and Silas had something that simply could not be taken from them, church. It could not be taken. They had their joy, and their joy produced a praise that led them to their breakthrough. Come on, somebody. Their joy was their breakthrough. You see, church, God sent me this morning to remind somebody that's in a low place this morning. They sent me finding a way to find joy no matter what the circumstances. A learned habit. It's a learned habit. It's something you practice and get stronger in. The more you practice joy, the less power your circumstances will have over your life. The more you practice this, the less power your circumstances are going to have over your life. I want to invite the band to come as I close. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I am encouraged by your word, Jesus. Thank you for the example you give us in Paul and Silas. Someone needs to get a hold of joy this morning. Someone needs to get their head lifted this morning. Someone needs to determine in your heart, if God does nothing for me, if God doesn't do another thing for me, I still will lift my hands in praise and adoration, because he's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my honor. Something in the depths of Paul and Silas said, no matter what hell may come my way, our God is worthy of my praise. So in the midnight hour, when I'm beaten, when I'm bloody, when I'm chained, I don't care what my circumstance looks like, in the midnight hour, I'm going to praise him. Even if my circumstance doesn't change, it's before the rumble happened. It's before the change began to shake. It's before the prison doors opened. That's in the midnight hour when they were praising. I'm going to praise God even in the midnight hour, because he's worthy. They said in this moment, it's so powerful. They said to the enemy of our soul, you can try to break my body, you can try to discourage my spirit, but by God, you will not break my joy, because my joy is my breakthrough. God sent me to preach to the one who has yet to see breakthrough this morning. Your joy is your breakthrough. Your joy is your breakthrough. What happens when Paul and Silas praise God in the midnight hour is so awesome. Look at it in verse 26. It said, suddenly. There's a suddenly coming if you'll just grab a hold of your joy. suddenly there was such a violent earthquake. God will shake the things that you're dealing with off of your life if you will grab a hold of joy. There was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open. Everyone's chains came loose. See, your joy can actually affect other people, church. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew out his sword because he was going to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, No! Don't hurt yourself. This was not a passive, hey, you're okay. Put the sword away. Don't look at your circumstance. Look at the God who is breaking this prison free. We're all here. The jailer called for the lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asks, sirs, this is what happens when we're full of joy. What must I do to be saved? Because I need what you've got. I can't live without what you've got. And Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved. Oh, that's great news this morning. Life Church, I promise you, people will listen when you praise Him in the middle of your mess. People will listen when you choose joy, when you've got nothing to be joyful about. The world doesn't need a holy huddle of critical complainers. The world needs Christians that are so full of joy that no matter what hell comes our way, we're going to praise them with a genuine heart, because our joy is our breakthrough. God sent me this morning to encourage somebody this morning. Our God honors determined joy. He honors determined joy. Stand with me all across this room in this holy moment. I sense the Holy Spirit in this place. I had something that does not compare at all to what Paul and Silas went through, but I had a unique experience. Jamie and I coach a U-12 basketball team with the Henry County Rec Center, and after the game, our team was pretty discouraged because we lost. But I'm not discouraged, because my joy is my breakthrough. My circumstance doesn't determine how happy I am. I'm going to choose to trust the Lord. And we're walking out of the facility, and Carly's daughter was just bawling her little eyes out. She was just ugly crying, like snot flying. She was making zero sense whatsoever. She can talk, but she didn't make any sense at this moment, just bawling her eyes out. And in that moment, we locked eyes, and I did what we do as parents, and I just, I love you. It's so good to see you. Wow, what's the matter? Life is good. And I gave her the most exciting, exuberant, and she kind of looked at me like, and for a moment, what was breaking her heart was released, because somebody had joy even in the middle of a dark situation. And I'm telling you, church, if we allow joy to be our breakthrough, then when somebody is going through something that they don't know how they're going to get through it, they're going to see the joy in your face, the joy in your countenance, the joy in your demeanor, and they're going to look, and something's going to break, and the whole prison system is going to break, because if we choose to worship in the midnight hour, man, our God is eventually going to cause the breakthrough. It's not that we have joy to get breakthrough. It's joy is our breakthrough, church. So in this moment, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you'd say this morning, Pastor, I have no joy. Pastor, I've kept my eyes on the circumstance and it's robbed me of my joy. I need this morning the kind of joy that you talk about. I'm like the jailer who sees something in you, and it causes me to say the same question: what can I do to be saved? Because my life is not full of joy unspeakable like you've preached about for the last half hour. If that's you this morning and the Holy Spirit has been gently tugging on your heart, allowing you to recognize that the funk that you've been in for a long time is not how God designed you to live your life. He designed you to be more than a conqueror. He designed you to be fearfully and wonderfully made. He designed you to be full of joy unspeakable. And if that's you this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you'd say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I'm going to respond just like Paul and Silas did. Then you need to put your faith and your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you and your entire household will be saved. So right now in this holy moment with every head bowed, every eye closed, you'd say, Pastor, you're preaching to me. I need salvation this morning. I need to surrender my heart and my life to Jesus in a fresh new way this morning. I want to give Jesus the reins, and I want joy to be infused in my life. If that's you all across this room, raise your hand and hold it high. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else, don't miss this holy moment. God loves you. His grace is sufficient to save you. The weight, the shame, the guilt, the condemnation, you don't have to carry it anymore. One more chance. If that's you, raise up your hand. Thank you, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray together as a church family for every hand that was lifted all across this room, every person online that is giving their heart to you right now in this holy moment. God, I pray that you would infuse within them a fresh joy, a fresh power from on high, a fresh freedom to love, to live, to laugh, to just enjoy the fullness of life that you've called us to. God, I pray, God, we trust you. We trust you with the worst thing that we could ever trust you with. We trust you with our sin. God, we believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on Calvary's cross and you nailed our sin to that cross. So right now, I pray that every person that lifted their hand would feel a sweet release of grace, a sweet release of mercy. God, that the sin that condemned us is now been set free because of the blood of Jesus. God, I thank you for salvation. And from this moment forward, we're going to live in joy in your presence because you are our Lord and we are your servants. In Jesus' name, come on, somebody, let's celebrate. Amen.